2, verses 8 through 20. A very familiar, for many people, a very familiar beginning of Christmas. They can't really start Christmas until they have the Charlie Brown Christmas story on TV. And it used to be when I was a kid that that was one of the things that you would look forward to. That movie, or that, I guess that's a movie, actually came out December 9th, 1965. It's hard to believe it's been around that long. Now, one of the amazing things, Sam, you know Sam, he likes to find out stuff. And did you notice Linus and his blanket? When he says, "Fear not," it's the only time he doesn't have the blanket. And it's just kind of a thing that many believe that when he was writing this story and when he was doing all this, that he wanted to show that Linus, who had such a insecurity problem and had to have that blanket, when he mentioned the birth of Jesus and the angel said, "Do not fear," that for that moment he laid down his fears and he was able to not have the blanket. But so many of us, we live in a world of fear. We really do. And this morning, we're going to look at Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. And we're going to look at this story that I believe the main emphasis of verses 8 through 20 is really the question, what are you waiting for? Now, one of the things that greatly bothers me about Christmas, and I hope this isn't true in your home, but one of the things that bothers me greatly about Christmas, that our kids know more about Santa and Christmas traditions that have nothing to do with Scripture than they do with Jesus. And I actually believe that as the church and as parents, everything we have and everything we display for Christmas ought to point our kids towards the real meaning of Christmas, which is the birth of Jesus, in order that we can experience the forgiveness of our sins. And we talked about how the poinsettia resembles the star that led the shepherds to the birth of Jesus, and how the color red reminds us that the blood of Christ forgives us of sin. The green color reminds us of God's everlasting love for us, and there's just so much out there, to the point where a lot of times the church, the Christian kids, don't know the truth because we're so busy and we're so caught up in what the world wants us to know that we don't teach them the true meaning of Christmas, and that's a tragedy to me. Parents are more concerned about getting a picture with Santa than they are getting their kids to church. And that bothers me. So this morning, I want us to look at, what are you waiting for? And I love the shepherds, because the shepherds are a beautiful picture of a group of people who are ready. They were ready to respond to God's love. So let's look, first of all, at verses 8 through 12. And I love this little section because I entitled it, "The Good News Comes to Us." A lot of times we think that we find God and we find God's love. But the truth is, God is the one that's looking for us. God is the one who took the steps that we could have the forgiveness of our sins. And if you look at verses 8 through 12, you see this so beautifully put. It says, "That night there were angels staying in the field nearby, shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but an angel reassured them, 'Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all the people. And then it says the Savior. Yes, the Savior, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by the sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger. But the thing I want you to know about those verses that I just read, the picture there is God came to the shepherds. The shepherds were not looking for God. They're doing their job. They are shepherds. They are out in the field. Now, I hate to tell you, I keep trying to remind you that we celebrate Christmas on December 25th, but that's not when Christ was most likely born. That date of December 25th was chosen to try to erase the memory of a pagan holiday. As a matter of fact, the shepherds generally took their sheep to the fields between March and October because that was when it was warmer. And so more than likely, December would not have been when they would have been out in the field. A lot of scholars believe that Jesus probably was born on December, in December sometime. Not December, excuse me, September. But the thing I want you to see is that God found the shepherds doing their job. And I really believe one of the things we need to understand at this time of the year about Christmas is that Christmas is a picture of God trying to find us. It may be at home, it may be at church, it may be at work, but God is in the business of looking for those who are lost. And what he does, he finds these shepherds. Now, shepherds in that time were not exactly the most venerated people. They were considered to be uneducated. They a lot of times were considered to be not clean. And the reason is they were constantly dealing with animals and dead animals and they had to protect the flock. And so a lot of times these shepherds were considered kind of like the lowest of the lowest. But on the other hand, you look in the scripture and Abraham was a what? Shepherd, the father of Israel. You look in the scripture and Moses was a shepherd. You look at King David, what was he? He was a shepherd. But remember, as we studied the book of Genesis, that the Egyptians would have nothing to do with the shepherds. So when I look at this, it's kind of to me confusing a little bit, but I think the main teaching is that shepherds were just average people. And God is looking for just average people. He's looking for everyone, but these shepherds definitely would not have been the ones that you and I would have chosen to spread the gospel. But that's who God used. See, a lot of times we think that we've got to be educated or we have to be a Christian for a long time to be able to be used by God. But no, what God is looking for is people whose hearts are right. God is looking for people who are ready to receive His love. And the thing I don't want you to miss is that the good news comes to you wherever you are. It would be interesting to me to find out where you first heard the good news and made a decision for Christ. You know, I was in Denison, Texas. I was in the fourth grade and I was in Vacation Bible School, and all of a sudden God reached down and made me aware that I was lost and that He died for me. I think Greg Ray tells the story. It was a revival and you were on the back row. Huh?
Church back here.
Right back here. How many of you accepted Christ when you were home? At home with someone, okay? How many of you accepted Christ at church? How many of you accepted Christ at work? Anybody? You know, what's interesting to me is these shepherds were at work. They were just going through the average, everyday thing, and God reached out to them, and He basically said, hey, I've got some really, really good news that I want you to know about and to share. And I want you to understand that the good news of Jesus Christ is God reaching down to you. You don't discover God. God finds you. I love what it says in Luke 19:10. It says, "For the Son of Man," talking about Jesus, "for the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost." Christmas is a reminder to me that God reached down into our world, that God sent His Son into our world in order that we could have a relationship with Him. The good news comes to us. But there's a second thing this passage says to me. The good news is just that, good news. I mean, don't miss this in this passage. It's a light show. It's a rock concert. All of a sudden, there's angels everywhere. And we tend to think of angels kind of like the one down here, are these little sweet, cute, child-looking things, and or it's a white angel, or it's, you know, there's all these imageries that we find in our nativities. But man, I'm not going to read it to you. Go to Ezekiel chapter 10, verses 9 through 14, and look at the angel there. It's a picture of something else. I kind of picture angels. Now, maybe I'm going out on a limb on this. How many of you have seen Raiders of the Lost Ark? I kind of picture the angels where there's all that going around and craziness, because typically, whenever angels come and speak, you find the words, "Do not fear." Evidently, there was a little frightening nature to them. Because every time it says, "Do not fear, do not fear." When they announced good news, it still said, "Do not fear." But the picture you have of the Savior, which is good news, is in verse 11. First of all, He says that little baby is a Savior. You see, Christmas is not about gift giving. Christmas is about the birth of a Savior. And I don't understand if we get that or not. He came into the world as a child to grow up and die in order that we could be saved from our sins. And when we see this picture here, the angels say that He is a Savior. Yes, He is the Messiah. The word Messiah means Redeemer. Jesus came to redeem us from our sin. Jesus came to redeem us from the world we live in. And then the last thing, He's called the Lord. He is called God. And so this little baby that the shepherds came and found was God in the form of a baby. And this little baby was their Savior, their Messiah, their Redeemer, their Lord. And when we come to Christmas, we need to understand that Christmas is about our hope. Our hope is in a little baby named Jesus who saves us from our sins, who is the Messiah, the Christ, the Redeemer. And a lot of times we forget the good news. We need to understand that when we tell others about Christmas, it needs to include the good news. The good news is Jesus came to be your Savior, your Redeemer, your Lord. And yet many times, Christmas is nothing more than the remembrance of the birth of a baby. And we've got to understand, no, it's more than that. It's good news. He saved me from my sin. He redeems me, and He is my God. He is my Lord. And so these shepherds, they get this message and that the angel gave them, and they are told in verse 12, "And you will recognize Him by this sign." Now, how did they find Mary and Joseph in Bethlehem? Most scholars believe that Bethlehem was 200 to 300 people in a average day, but at this time it could be more due to the census being taken. But the shepherds were given a specific thing to look for. They were to find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth. And this baby, this newborn baby, was to be in a manger. Not a crib, not in the arms of a mother, but in a manger. That's such a strange sign to look for. I mean, when I think about it, did they go around? And every baby they heard crying, did they look to see if it was in a manger? That is the key sign that we see there. But what we find is that these shepherds are told to go and look for this baby that had been born because he was the good news. The good news is good news. Back when I became a Christian, a lot of the preaching and teaching about becoming a Christian was bad news. You wanted to accept Jesus to not go to hell. But the good news is Jesus died so your sins could be forgiven, so you could have a new life, a better life. And so this good news was supposed to be a good thing. I don't understand why we have such a negative view of Christianity. It's good news. You're forgiven for your mistakes. God loves you. So the good news is the good news. The shepherds were told to go and find this baby. But here's what I love, the third thing. The good news demands a response. If you will look in verse 15, look at verse 15. It says, when the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, let's go. Let's go. Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord told us about. And it says they hurried off to the village and found Mary and Joseph. And there was the baby lying in the manger. What I love about that is that when you hear the good news, you have to make a response. You don't become a Christian just because you know the story. You don't become a Christian just because your parents were Christians. You don't become a Christian because you were baptized. The thing that we see here is that you have to respond to the good news. The shepherds could have said, hey, we can't go do this. We're watching the sheep. That's our job. We don't have time to go look for a baby. They could have responded with a number of excuses, but what I love, they responded with a desire to go find him. When you hear the gospel, you have to respond. And your response is either yes or no. When you hear that Jesus died for your sins, it's either yes or no. You either believe it or you don't believe it, but you have to respond. There is no neutral when it comes to being a Christian. You either are or you aren't. These shepherds, I love it, these uneducated guys, the ones that we would not pick to share the gospel, when they heard about the Savior, when they heard about the Lord being born in a manger, they went and they looked for him. What about you? Have you ever responded to the gospel with a yes? You see, you have to respond. He died for you, but it's not yours till you believe it. And so many times the good news is good news, but it's not personal because the person doesn't receive it. You know, one of the things we do at Christmas is we give gifts. And if you give someone a gift, it's not theirs until they receive it. It's the same way with becoming a Christ follower. Christ can tell you about dying for your sins. You can hear about it. You can know about it. You can even show me in the Bible where it's located. But until you believe it, until you respond, it's not yours. You know, we were just last night picking out gifts for Liam, finalizing his Christmas. And we tried to find the gifts that he would like. Trucks. Some kind of magnetic thing that you put together. What was it called? Magnet tiles. I mean, we were looking, but we were trying. But you know what? I guarantee you, when we see him on Christmas, when we say, Liam, here are your gifts, he's going to tear them up. Now, Zane, we had Christmas with him last night. And we got him a little tax basketball go. How many of you have ever seen one of those things? So Julie, she doesn't skip anything. She wrapped this huge box. And it was of two or three different wrappings, I think. But we took that box in, and we bought him another big box, which was a grocery cart. I don't understand that totally. But anyway, we take it inside, and we said, Zane, he's a year and a half, here's your gifts. So did he go and unwrap them? No, he climbed on top of the boxes and kind of slid on them, and he had no clue because he didn't know it was his. He didn't understand the gift thing. But see, it's the same way with salvation. Jesus is your Savior. Jesus is your Christ, your Redeemer. Jesus is the one who is your Lord, but he's not yours till you receive it. You don't get it just because you know about it. You have to want it. These shepherds went and found the good news. And it was in a manger, just like they were told. So my question is, have you ever responded to the gospel in the positive way? Have you ever put your faith in him? Have you ever decided to follow him? Because you either have or you haven't. The good news demands a response. It's not neutral. So, the good news demands a response. The fourth thing, the good news is to be spread. The thing I love the most in verses 17 and 18, after these uneducated shepherds found the Christ child, after seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. I mean, just imagine these guys, these guys that they worked out in the fields. You didn't see them a lot. They come into town and they tell this crazy story about God being born, about the Messiah, about the Savior of the world being born, and he's in a manger. But they were so excited that after they experienced that, they told everyone they could about the good news. Now, I wonder sometimes how come we don't tell others about the good news. I mean, the thing that I hate about Christmas is December 27th, we take all the decorations down. Or in our case, in February, March, something of that nature. You know, we're not as accurate as should be. But think about it, we put it all up and it's wait till next year. Why don't we tell people about the good news? That God loves them, that God died for them, that there is a purpose to their life. Why don't we do that? So, well, I don't want to offend them. Well, I didn't say you could make them, but wouldn't you, if you had some good news, wouldn't you tell someone? What about just telling someone what Jesus has done for you? One of the things I want to do in the near future is I would love to give everybody an opportunity to share how they came to know Christ. I mean, that to me is a fascinating thing. To hear how you found the good news. Who was it? When did it happen? But these shepherds, these common everyday shepherds, when they saw it, they immediately started telling other people about this miracle that they had experienced. You know, the good news is meant to be spread. We meet on Wednesday night, and I think about this all the time, and we have a lot of kids on Wednesday nights. We have a lot of teenagers, but the whole point of meeting on Wednesday nights is to share the good news. I really don't care. I want the kids to have a good time. I want the kids to hear the gospel, but I really want the focus to be on them receiving it. Because guys, playing church will not save you. Sharing the good news is something we have to do in our county. It's something we have to do in our church, in our community. It's got to be the reason we do what we do. These shepherds took the good news and they spread it. We need to do the same thing. And then the fifth thing, the good news should be contemplated. If you look at verse 19, it says, "But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often." Can you imagine this teenage girl that was told by an angel she would be giving birth to God's Son? This teenage girl that is 80 miles from home with a man who she's not officially married to yet. Mary and Joseph will get married as soon as baby Jesus is born. And just imagine this young teenage girl who had experienced these angels, and then these strange shepherds came and found them. Just imagine what she must have been thinking about when a group of shepherds come and find the baby and are excited. Just, I can't imagine. And it says in verse 19, it says, she kept these things in her heart and thought about them often. You know, this Christmas, don't get so busy doing stuff that you don't contemplate what it's all about. When Callie was playing that song, "O Come, O Come, Emmanuel," that's one of my favorites. Did you know that? No, you didn't. Now you do. But you know what? That song, I like to listen to it when it's kind of, the lights are turned down, and I have a Christmas tree and I have light, and I just sit there and I think about this child being born to this young Jewish woman, and it's God. And I think sometimes we get so busy with Christmas that we don't contemplate. We don't put it all together. We don't think about it. And yet we need to understand that Christmas is something we need to just sometimes sit and think about. God sending His Son to die for our sins. The good news should be contemplated, thought about. And then the last thing, it should change us. These shepherds, look how they leave the place in verse 20. It says, "The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them." I can't imagine, I don't have any proof, but I can't imagine that those shepherds were ever the same. I can't imagine that as Jesus grew up and as they heard about Him, as they heard about His death, I can't imagine those shepherds were ever the same. I believe, like it says in verse 20, that after they experienced that miracle, that they started glorifying and praising God. You know, why do we lose the Christmas spirit as soon as Christmas is over? You see, it's meant to be life-changing. The fact that He came and He lived and He died for our sins, it's supposed to change us. And yet so often, it doesn't change us at all. The shepherds, they're a pretty good example of how we should be. But are we like that? What about you? How have you responded? Have you ever responded? Have you ever told someone else about the good news? Have you told your kids about the good news? Have you explained to your kids and your teenagers and your family that this baby was the Savior of the world? See, Christmas is just waiting on Christians to explain it. I guarantee you, most people in our community have a nativity scene. I guarantee you, most people in our community have a Christmas tree put up. Most people in our community sing the Christmas carols. But how many does it really make a difference to? I hope it does. What are you waiting for? Let's pray. Father, I come to you and I thank you for this time of year, and I thank you so much that we can rejoice in the fact that you sent a Savior, that you sent a Christ, a Messiah, that you sent a Lord to die for us and to give us hope. And Father, I pray that this Christmas, when we take the decorations down, that we would still live the Christian message, that we would tell others about the good news. Father, help us to be different because of Christmas. Help us to not go back to business as usual. Father, we thank you for this time. Help us to share with others the good news of Jesus Christ. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.